kicks off our first service of Rocktober in this new series. And so to kick us off, we have something very special we'd like to share with you.
Principessa, nella tua fredda stanza, guardi le stelle che tremano ed amore e di speranza.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you. And thank you, Roz. How good was that?
Yeah.
I know. Well, can I invite the kids to go to your programs? We wanted you to hear that. So please, good luck, children's program teachers, this morning. Well, welcome to worship this morning. Good to see you. There is something profound about music, isn't there? It's something that moves us. Music has the ability to take you where nothing else seems to be able to do it. It lifts you. Didn't you feel lifted just then? It soothes you when you're hurting. It revs you up. It eases the pain that goes on in your life. Music, it seems, speaks the language of our soul. Goes to spots where nothing else can seem to quite penetrate. A life without music is not a life. We all love music. We're a big music church, aren't we? We love music. That's why one of the reasons why we are here. And so today I'm delighted to introduce you to our very first in a series of Rocktober, or maybe we should say Orchestrober. And I bet that song was one that you weren't expecting this morning, eh? No. So thank you again, Michael. And thank you to our band who week after week serve us in such a particular way and lead us into worship. Yes, thank you. And thank you also, Roz, for accompanying as well. Well, made famous by Pavarotti, the song Nessun Dorma is a most wonderful aria, arousing our senses, lifting us up into new places. It's used, as I'm sure you well and truly know, in a wide variety of ways and occasions. And I'm sure many of you would have heard Ness and Dorma many times, different things. Wikipedia gives me some information that I'll read out to you. Ness and Dorma, which is English for none shall sleep, is an aria from the final act of Puccini's opera, Tandura, and is one of his best known tenor arias in all of opera. Probably the most recognized of all, I would have thought. The opera itself is long and complicated. I read it in preparation for today. But the bit that concerns us is the song Nessun Dorma, sung by Karloff, the unknown and unnamed prince, whom nobody knows and emerges, and he himself only discovers his heritage just prior to this particular act. And the prince who falls in love at first sight with the beautiful but cold princess, Tandura, at all places, at an execution. The big plot of the offer revolves around any man who wishes to marry the princess must first answer her three riddles. If they don't answer them correctly, they will be beheaded. And even though Karloff has been, just like a baptism.
Like the Bachelor.
Like the Bachelor. You get the rose cut off, it's just a bit more anyway. So Karloff, even though he's been advised against having a crack at this, he signifies his intention to enter into this process by ringing the bell out the front of the palace. And so he puts his life on the line. And so in a nail-biting scene, Karloff correctly answers the three riddles and puts off all of the prospective suitors and staves off death. He wins. Nevertheless, the cold-hearted princess recoils at the thought of marriage to this man. And Karloff wants the princess to marry him out of love, not out of duty. So in a strange twist of fate, he offers her another chance to have him executed. And so he challenges her to guess his name by dawn. And if she does so, she can have him executed. But if she does not, she must marry him. And so the cruel and emotionless princess decrees that none of her subjects shall sleep that night until his name is discovered. And if his name is not discovered, all of her servants must die. Really is like Bachelor, isn't it? As the final act opens, which is the bit that concerns us, it's now night. And Karloff is alone in the moonlit palace grounds. In the distance, he hears the princess's heralds proclaiming her command. And his aria begins with an echo of their cry and a reflection from the princess. So here it is. Let me read it to you in English. None shall sleep, none shall sleep. Not even you, O princess, in your cold bedroom watching the stars that tremble with love and with hope. But my secret is hidden within me. No one will know my name. No, no. On your mouth I will say it when the light shines. And my kiss will dissolve the silence that makes you mine. And just before the climactic end of the aria, a chorus of women is heard singing in the distance. No one will know his name, and we will have to, alas, die. And Karloff, now certain of victory, sings this: vanish, O night, fade, you stars, at dawn, I will win, I will win, I will win. Now, there's a lot in this opera, and there's a lot that we could talk about in this opera. It shows the love of another, it shows courage, it shows fidelity, it shows loyalty, it shows conviction. But here's the thing. Karloff does not want the princess to marry him reluctantly. He wants to defeat her cold-hearted defensiveness and have her fall in love with him. And this is, in fact, exactly what happens at the end of the opera. And so in a strange twist of fate prior to dawn, Karloff reveals his name to the princess. And all of a sudden, she awakens and realizes the deep love that is within her. And rushing to the window, she now proclaims that she knows the unknown prince's name. But she chooses not to reveal his real name, Karloff, but instead calls him Amor, which means love. And in this, we find a shallow example of another deeper love, of another who threw himself into a relationship, not through coercion, but wanting to welcome into love, but rather allowing for the other party to choose it. It mirrors, in a sense, the relentless love of God, who, though rejected by humanity, chose to put it all on the line that we might choose love. And I like the story of Karloff and the Princess Tandura. This story does involve death. You see, Jesus did die so that we might have the opportunity that we could all choose him. The fact, in the end, that the princess calls her fiancé love is not lost on us either, for we see clearly the love of God in the face of Jesus. We read about it in the scriptures. Let me quote just one part from 1 John. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This story surrounding this aria is a gospel story. It's the good news of Jesus. It's just told in another way. No wonder we find it a passionate song, full of intensity, full of strength. I'm sure you are well aware that one unlikely contestant on the British TV show X Factor stood up to sing this song. He was introduced as the phone salesman from Wales, South Wales, and with his crooked teeth, when he smiled in his ill-fitting suit, he was the laughing stock of the judges and the crowd. Until he allowed that beautiful voice to come from his mouth. And people were moved to tears to hear him sing exactly that same song, Nessendor. The song, it does that, doesn't it? It has something in it. It's something resonant in it, something deeper than just what we can hear. And we don't even understand it because it's sung in Italian. And yet we know, don't we? We know that it has something to communicate to us. We resonate strongly with a story about a man who risked it all for marriage, but more than that, risked it all to purchase love for another. A love that was unwanted and unrequested. But my friends, let me tell you, this is the Jesus story. That Jesus would do this for us. And if you've never heard it, let me tell it to you in one paragraph. Somewhere close to the beginning of time, humanity rejected God's love and God's friendship. That was not a good choice for us. And things went bad, and then went worse, and then went disastrous. But God wasn't finished with us. And so sending his son, we see the personality firsthand of who God is, the loving face of God before us. And in the smartest move we ever did, not, we rejected his son and we killed his son. But God still wasn't finished with us. And so he rose his son from the dead, and through his life, his resurrection life, his conquering over death life, we all can have life if we so choose. The simple offer is there for each and every one of us. We get to choose. Do we want to be in friendship with God or not? Do we want to connect with him or not? Notice, though, what happens to the princess. That cold, emotionally distant place, the love of the princess wins her over. His love, the love of the prince, was enough to change her. His love did something for her. His love took her from where she was to where she could be. His love opened her out. And instead of that closed up clamshell or that really tight rosebud, she blossomed open. You could see the treasure that was there inside, the fragrance coming out, expressing so much more. She was no more what she was. She became the fully fledged, mature person she was always supposed to be. So I want to ask you a question. Don't you sometimes in your honest moments wish that could happen to you too? Don't you wish that you could be more than what you are at this moment? Don't you hunger to satisfy that ache in your soul that cries out for you to be more? A lot of us do. We desire to grow into the person we intuitively know that we should be and stop reacting the way that we always seem to have to. We can't seem to find the way into it. We seem to get blocked every time we try and walk that path. Yet again, we find another parallel here with what God has been up to down through the ages, including this very moment. You see, God specializes in the changing business. And history tells us again and again and again that an encounter with the living God changes people's lives and sets histories different. Your future can be changed. This is the truth of the work that God has been doing in people's lives, in changing lives to be what they were always designed to be, but people couldn't seem to find their way through. God knows what you were designed to be because, funny enough, God made you. And God wants you to be the best that you can be. And that little nagging voice in the back of your mind is the reminder that you need a God experience to fulfill the person that you were meant to be. You know, I marvel at the prince and the way he pursued the love of his life. I marvel in the fact that he held nothing back. I find it extraordinary because often I know in myself, I do hold back. I often hold back just a little bit. I don't think that I've ever had to put my life on the line. Can you imagine the only way to get the partner that has captured your heart was to go through three riddles or three trials in order to get through? And if you failed those, you would die. I don't think many of us would be married, would we? Probably wouldn't quite happen. But even though many others have failed, he was not deterred in his relentless pursuit of the princess. The story is that those around him tried to restrain him when they learned of his desire to accept the challenge, but he would not be dissuaded. I think about that and I think it is not usual to succeed where others have failed, is it? Most of us fail, and we fail a lot more than we would ever like to admit. All of us need a hero. We all need a helper. All of us need someone stronger than us to help us through the things that cause us to fail again and again. And so sometimes the difference between those who know this and those who don't know this is the courage to admit it. The Bible has some profound wisdom. One such verse is found in the book of John, chapter 15. It says this: greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. If you have failed over and over again and you're sick of it, then here's the question that I want to ask you this morning. Is it time to give the one who laid his life down in your stead a chance? Maybe it's time to be honest and realize that you're not strong enough, you're not tough enough, you're not hard enough to deal with all of life. And maybe it's time you have a real and honest and frank conversation with Jesus. To talk with him about the reality of your life and the future that you can both share together in community and in community with all the rest of his family. Maybe it's time to try and stop living your way, to keep the way that keeps you on the failure streak, the elevator of disappointment that knows no end, and discouragement, heartache, Instead, live into and walk on God's intended path for you. Some people call it conversion. I call it a really smart move, where you throw your lot in with the one who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to be close, closer than anything. There's an interesting story in the long twist of stories there is around this particular opera. Nessun Dorma was the last thing Pavarotti performed in public, although he was so ill by the time he went to perform it for the 2006 Winter Olympics that his version of Nessun Dorma was lip-synced because he couldn't physically sing it. And at his funeral just 1 year later, as he was honoured with a fly-pass by the Italian Air Force, the music that was thundered out over the PA system was Nessun Dorma. I think about that, and I wonder, what's the song that's going to sum up your life? Will it be a story of redemption like this one? A story of great love that wins in the end? Or will it be a song of sadness, of lost chances, a song of unrealized potential? You know, it's not too late to have a song. Even today, it's not too late to have a new song that's been sung in your life. To hear again and to resonate with the amazing grace song that Jesus, God, sings over you, influenced by the Spirit. Make it your own. All of us need some sort of grace in our life. That word grace is the word used to sum up the completeness of God's favor on all of us. You know, Jesus' name is love. It is the most amazing name. It's a name and a love that can be absolutely trusted. And so this morning, I commend him to you. I have found him worthy of my allegiance. And I expect that's the same for all of us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the songs that you sing over us and communicate to us. We thank you for the gospel songs, songs of redemption, songs of forgiveness, songs that pour good things into our lives, songs that take your spirit deep within our being. May we resonate this morning with who you are, the beautiful name of Jesus. And may we sing that song with the hearts filled with praise to you, knowing that you created us for more and you call us into the depth of your being in order that we might live this life and live it fully. In your name we pray. Amen.